Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts 4, 23. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they'd heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servant that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank and praise you that we can just enjoy your precious word. And Father, just it's been a joy and a privilege to be able to stand in this pulpit and Father, to have a little gravelly voice, a rough voice, Father. You have allowed me and given me the power and the strength for, you know, 27 plus years now to never miss a time to stand in this pulpit because my voice was gone. Never miss a time that I couldn't teach your word. Never miss a time to take care of the radio broadcast. And Father, we know what the doctor said many years ago. It just shouldn't be. But Lord, you weren't finished with my voice, and I thank and praise you for that. And it touches my heart to know that you're using me, Father, to proclaim your word. Now, Father, just take these words as Peter, I believe, is praying here and says that please that we speak it with boldness, that we do that today, Father. Guide and lead us through this precious word now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It's probably been well over 20 years ago that the doctors told me not to ever sing and to never, if I would preach for a 30 minutes, as I said, I can't do that. I've got to preach for 30 minutes. And then says, please don't speak then for the rest of the day. Otherwise, your voice will be gone and there's no surgery that can help it. And that was well over, I'd have to look back, well over 20 years ago. And I was not about to stop singing those beautiful hymns and proclaim his precious word. So God is good. We look at these verses of Scripture here, and we know that because of what Peter and John were preaching, the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they didn't like it. They brought him in, rebuked him for what they were saying, told him not to speak that name again. Don't talk about that man, Jesus. Don't speak his name. We don't want to hear it anymore. And their hopes was that by their threatenings, of course, that then they would take off like Peter did the one other time when he was approached and criticized a little bit. He even rebuked the Lord, said, I don't know him, all those things. Well, again, many of these same people were a part of that group that was there that night, and so they thought if we'd push him, you know, John's young, he'll follow Peter. We just got to break Peter. If we can break Peter, it'll be over. This thing will be done with, and we need to take care of it. Well, what we have here in verse 23, then, And of course, Peter said that, in so many words, that's not going to happen. I'm going to preach the name of Jesus, and I'm going to preach it louder than ever. And so he comes back, and he meets with I call the church, with the group of believers there that had gathered. And so he comes back, and he gives them a report of the chief priests and the elders and what they had said. And he begins to pray. And he lifts up his voice unto God with one accord and their voices. And I believe that I think Peter, I believe, was praying here. And I think all that were listening were all in complete agreement with what Peter was saying. And so he begins, as we said last week, that he acknowledges that the Lord Jesus Christ, is the creator of the heaven and the earth. And we looked up those verses of Scripture in John and Ephesians and in Hebrews. And so that's where Peter started. And then he went off into 25. And verse 25 says, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said," and then begins to quote part of Psalms chapter 2. And I hope that you had the chance between last week and this week to look up Psalms chapter 2, because there's only a couple of verses that Peter quotes here, and the rest of it is a wonderful study. And so please that you will look to that. We've only got like three chapters to go on Wednesday night till we'll be done with Psalms, but we're not going to be able to start Proverbs until the ladies' Bible study's finished. And so we will start once again with Psalms chapter 1 if they're not done. And so we'll get to chapter 2 before too long. I don't think that's going to be a problem. We're going to move right into Proverbs. So you be ready on Wednesday night. But as we look at these scripture verses and enjoy them, we need to understand that these verses here that is spoken by David, repeated by Peter, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? That was the quote from Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Realize that the princes and the people, whether it's the court or the country, have very different ideas than what was given concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and Christianity and the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And we're going to go through several things here, because what is happening is, by the presentation of the gospel, by the bringing in the death, burial, and resurrection, bringing in the wonderful doctrine of Christ, literally destroys every cult and idea and principle that's out there, that is of the earth and worldly. So that's the reason that not just one group came up against the young Christians, and that's the reason that not only one group comes against the church today, but they seem to all gather against the church today. And the reason is because by the Word of God, and by His grace and by His power, He is the only Messiah. He is the only one that can bring victory into our lives. He's the only one that can bring us peace. And by saying that He is the only one, we're stepping on the toes of every one of their gods, because their gods are helpless and of no power and worthless. And we need to stand, as it says here, with boldness. And so we need to understand that as David says, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Well, understand that the great struggle is all about the kingdom of Christ. And hell and heaven are contesting it. And do you ever think about where this war is taking place? Heaven and hell's fighting. Where are they fighting? Here on earth. This is the war, the battleground. You want to know why that when we stand for Christ, that again it seems that everybody stands against us? The reason for that is because we are the battleground here. And the world hates the church. The world hates the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Satan has long held this position as God of this world. The devil doesn't know the timetable, but he knows because of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that he has been defeated. The battle's over. We have won. But the devil's still out there. And the devil is still pursuing all that he can get to join his side. And the closer it comes to the end times, the closer that the old devil knows that he's going to lose his power. You know, he's not giving up. The old devil isn't quitting. He is throwing everything out there. He's got that old train of his on full throttle ahead, and he's going to destroy every life and every soul he possibly can before that day that he has placed into the lake of fire. And he has set out to destroy it. And so when we look at what's going on around this world, don't be troubled. Just be aware that this is what we find here with David. Why did the heathen rage? Why did the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against his Christ. Yes, we're in the battleground. And when Jesus finished that work and conquered the devil, conquered Satan, and gave us the victory, that devil knew his days were numbered. And again, instead of just laying down and quitting, he decided that he's going to just go all out to make as much havoc and trouble and tribulation as he can till that last day when he's cast into the lake of fire. That last day. The devil knows as the Messiah's kingdom is raised up that the devil's kingdom falls. He knows that. You would think with the great victory that we have in Jesus Christ, to know the Lord Jesus, to walk with the Lord Jesus, to possess his grace, to have his peace and to have his knowledge, that every king and every priest and a prince and every president, every leader of every land would desire to have the wisdom of God to lead. But we know that that's not true. We know that the prince of this world, the devil, he's the one that owns them. He's the one that owns them. There has never been, nor ever will be, an opposition, one force against another, any greater than the world against the church. You will never, ever find. We talk about the enemy coming against the nation of Israel. Well, the reason they hate the nation of Israel is they're God's chosen people. But the reason that they hate God's chosen people is they don't hate those people. They hate God. They hate Jehovah God. And the world does the same. And as the devil continues to build his strength and his force, the teaching and the doctrine as we have of Christ, the Word of God, the world hates. The unbelieving Jew left the Word of God. And they have joined with the Gentiles to crucify the Lord Jesus. David here, he fought the Philistines. He fought Saul. He even fought his own family as he stood for the coming Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the beginning here in Acts. This is the beginning of the day of grace. But this age is also a time that the devil is pouring out all of his strength and power to deceive and bring rejection to the true God, Jehovah. This 26th verse here, where it tells us that not only we have did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things in verse 25, but in 26, the kings of the earth stood up, the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. You know, it's the church is going to be raptured. The tribulation time will come. You know, millions will be missing. There'll be one. The Antichrist will be raised up in power to bring some explanation of what has happened to those that are missing. You can look at the little horn in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. You can look at the counterfeit Christ in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2, and Revelation chapter 13. And that's when this 26th verse will come into full light. The counterfeit Christ will sit in the temple in Jerusalem and announce that He is God. The abomination of desolation. He will deceive many, especially the rulers of the earth. And we're seeing that today. We talked about it just a second in the Sunday school class. There was a statement made this past week. And it was about our president. And the man said that he was a Muslim. Well, immediately everyone raised up and they were upset. And I question why they would be upset, because they seem to love and enjoy the Muslims more than Christians in statements that he's made. And so I don't know why anyone was troubled with that statement. But if you listen and you hear all these politicians and these president wannabes and everybody that's out there, they're all crying out, no, he's not Muslim, he's Christian. He's Christian. Now, most of those folks that are making that statement are not Christian. And we know by our president's testimony that he is no Christian. And yet we have taken he has taken that name. But today, you see, if you're not a Jew or if you're not a Muslim, you're a Christian. Look at how that devil has done that. I go back and I'm getting to where you'd call me old, but you get to the place where when I was raised, you knew that there was a Catholic and there was a Protestant. And the Protestants were called Christians and the Catholics were called Catholics. And they didn't want to be called Christian. They didn't want to be called a Christian. They were called a Catholic. And I remember the days when a Mormon, he wanted to be called a Mormon. They didn't want to be called a Christian. There was no way that they were going to be called a Christian, because we're not a Christian. We're of the Mormon religion. We're of Catholicism. We're a Catholic, and they were proud of it. When I was raised, and that's all I thought there was. I thought there was Catholics and Mormons and Christians. And then I got a little older. I found out there's Jews. I didn't even know Jews existed. Isn't that sad, being in church all your life and I didn't know anything about a Jew? I didn't know anything about a Jew. I knew all about the Mormons and the Catholics, but I didn't know about the Jews. So I found out there was Jews. Why would they want to be called Christian? Because that's the great lie of Satan. That if he can compromise the Word of God and bring all these cults in here and they are called and named Christian, what have we done? We're going to destroy the church. We're going to make that church lukewarm. What age are we in right now in the book of Revelation with the seven churches? We are in the church age of the Laodicean church. The church that is, in God's words, lukewarm, and I'm going to throw you, I'm going to vomit you up. That's the condition of the church as a whole today. And we see that. Is God pleased with the title of the church today? Not in any way, shape, or form. But as I believe the Word of God teaches us, there are seven churches in Revelation. All seven churches existed the day that John was called by the Spirit of God to record them. All those churches were in existence. And I believe all seven of those churches have been in existence all through time. Ever since John has done this, I think all seven of those churches, the types of churches, the ones that followed the Word of God, the ones that left the Word of God, and I think all seven of those churches still exist today. But we want to be the church of Philadelphia. We don't want to be the church of Laodicea. We want to be the church that has a love for the Lord Jesus. We love preaching the Word of God. But the world today, and if someone asks you, how can you say that our president is not a Christian? Well, ask him how he can approve of the murder of millions of babies. Ask him that. But ask him as well, and that is to be a believer in Jesus Christ. You must be Christ-like. You must be born again. You must be blood-washed. And then you will follow the steps of Christ. Are you doing that? Have you done that? And he can lie if he chooses to. But he's not lying to you or to me. He's lying to God. And God's going to judge who he is and what he is. But I thought it was something how the world jumped in so quickly to define that he was a Christian. The devil's not given up. As I said, he was defeated at Calvary. He knows he's defeated. And he knows he's going to spend his eternity in the lake of fire. We have that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. We're going to go to Revelation 20, 10, read that verse of Scripture. And then we're going to read Revelation 19, 17 through 21 as well concerning this 26th verse, and then we'll get on to 27 and 8. Revelation chapter 20. Verse 10. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Go back to chapter 19, verse 17 through 21. We made reference to this just the other day in the study. Revelation 19, verse 17. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, come and gather yourself together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sat on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, and the sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You want to know what's going to happen? Verse 26, when the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. Go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 17 through 21. Scripture confirms Scripture. Then we go to verse 27. For of a truth, Peter prays, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together. For of a truth, in reality, the holy child Jesus here is not speaking of him as a child. It's giving his position as a son, sonship. And so you could say holy son Jesus there would be correct. Pilate, Herod, Rome, the Jews, all were allied together. All have a common drive or driven, and their goal was to see Jesus Christ put to death. Pilate and Herod and Rome were all the Gentiles. They were heathen. They all worshipped other gods. So what in the world are the Jews doing with them? What were the Jews doing with them? They were with them because they had left the Word of God. So you go down the road and you look at every church that has left the Word of God. They too will join with the heathen. They'll join with Rome. They'll join with Pilate. They'll join with Herod. Because they have one common goal. And that is destroy the truth, true Christianity. They don't care that the Christian church is written on the thing. They don't care. Just as long as we don't talk about Jesus. Just as long as we don't speak about the Messiah. The Jews claimed to follow the one true God, but they didn't. You see, the Jews, they were the deliverer of Jesus. They're the ones that brought the false charges against Jesus. Pilate, now he was the one that sentenced Jesus. Rome, they're the ones that nailed him to the cross. So each one had an active part in putting Jesus to death. Rome didn't know any better. Pilate and Herod didn't know any better. But the Jews sure should have. They should have had no part of this. And today when things come up and we have different organizations that come and all the churches gather together, we're not to be a part of them. The ecumenical movement where all the pastors come together, they can invite me every day if they want to, and they can say anything they want to about me, but I will not be a part of them. Because they're Pilate and they're Herod and they're Rome. They don't want the Word of God. We must separate ourselves from them. We should not be a part of them. The one thing that they had in common, not only the hatred of the Lord Jesus, but the reason they hated Jesus is because it was destroying what they had. It was destroying what they had. Jesus was contrary to what the Jews were teaching and telling and following. So if more people follow them, we're going to fall. All the gods of Athens and all those gods of Corinth and everything that was going on in Rome, everything that they believed in was being destroyed by these Christians. You want to know why the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jews and the heathens got together? Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world, was on the opposite side that they were on. They're enemies of the cross. They could see the impact of this true Christianity and what it was going to mean. It was going to destroy them. You see, Christianity is like no other religion. You could go into Athens, you could go into Corinth, you could go into Rome, and if you would go in there with a little god, they would say, come on in. Come on, join us. What do we have on Mars Hill? We had so many gods on Mars Hill. They just didn't want to offend anybody. This is the way society's coming today. They didn't want to offend anybody, so they even built a statue up there of the unknown god, just in case we miss one. And that's the one that Paul picked up on. He said, I'm going to tell you about the unknown god, the real God, Jehovah. And you see, our God's jealous. He's not going to share. And he shouldn't share. He's a creator of this world. And he's the one that gave them the ability to make these little gods, to worship other gods, to give them the freedom to do that. And so we find that Christianity is the only true religion. And it's not a religion. It's a living being. And that is the difference. The rest of them are all religions. But we serve the living Christ. We walk with him. We serve him. We praise him. He is our Messiah. He's the only Messiah. He's the only one that's ever risen from the dead. He is alive. He is the only one that will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the only one. We're not going to share. We're going to give out the truth. The people that believed the gospel left the pagan religions. They denounced the religious system that they were involved in. And that's the reason you always question when you talk to someone and they continue to go to a liberal church, or maybe they were in the Catholic Church and they got saved in the Catholic Church and they stayed in the Catholic Church. You get saved, get out. Oh, praise God that miraculously you got saved, because you sure didn't get saved where you were. But somehow the Spirit of God came and convicted your heart and you trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Wonderful. Now get out. Get out. There was two things that I really stand against the ministry of Billy Graham. One is that he had Robert Schuller, leader of a cult, on the platform invited. He invited him on that platform. And I was appalled by that. Standing next to Satan on the platform. Why did he do that? Because, you see, he had to compromise to have all the people there. No, you don't. You don't compromise. And the second thing, and that is that he always told the people to go back to the same church they were in. you're Jehovah Witness, go back to the Jehovah Witness. If you're Assembly of God, go back to the Assembly. If you're Catholic, go back to the Catholics. No. The Word of God. We read 15 verses of Scripture this morning telling us how to separate ourselves when we're a believer in Jesus Christ. Get away from them. Get away from them. You want to know why they had such big Bible conferences? Why could they fill the stadiums? Because the devil was right there with him. That may upset you. A lot of people love Billy Graham. He could have accomplished a great work, but he compromised with the devil. Just like the Jews did with Rome, just like the Jews did with Pontius Pilate to get Jesus crucified. Look at him. We need to stand for the truth. Verse 29. We're going to just take a quick look at it and close. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. They've threatened us. They're going to probably put us in prison. They're going to beat us. But grant unto thy servants, give us a boldness to speak thy word. Don't let us compromise. Give us the strength, Lord, to speak your truth and not turn aside. Not turn aside. We've been criticized. We've been condemned because we stand upon the Word of God. We've been called blood worshipers because we stand for the precious shed blood of Jesus. Stand bold. Be a Peter. Be a John. Preach that gospel. Is it going to get worse? Yes, without question. Tribulation's coming. But I'll tell you what. We cannot turn from serving a living God, our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Don't compromise. We're not going to compromise so we can fill these pews. We're going to preach the Word of God and let the Spirit of God win the hearts. And when they're saved, we pray that they'll come here to learn the Word of God, to learn the truth. Please, come to Jesus as your Savior. Walk with the Lord Jesus today. Don't compromise. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you've given us the strength and the wisdom to stand, and we pray that it continues, because we sure can't do it on our own. It has to be by your power and strength. And Father, we look at history and look at Athens and Corinth and Ephesus and Rome, and we look at all the filth and the corruption that was there because of all their gods and everything that was driven by their gods. And then we look at our God. And he stands for everything that's right and righteous. Is there any wonder why the world hates Jehovah? Hates our God? Because it stands against everything that they've been raised to know. But Father, the joy is that when one lost soul gets saved, we've snatched them right out of hell. Can live that victorious life and enjoy it each day. Please, dear Lord, for someone here today that's not born again, not saved, let today be the day that we snatch them right out of hell. Your power, your strength can do it. Speak to our hearts now as we sing this song of invitation today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.